Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I am so excited to bring back to the program author J.L. Gibson. She is the author of the Ancient Mirrors Tales series of fantasy novels and has just released the last installment titled Quandom, which has been published by Synergy Books. Following a 13-year teaching career, which earned her two Teacher of the Year awards, J.L. Gibson's sense of mythology drove her to create the Ancient Mirrors Tales, a series of books that delves into the ancient and magical worlds. She is an Amazon Celtic mythology best-selling author and is the recipient of two USA Book News Finalist Awards for 2007 and the 2008 National Indie Excellence Award for Fantasy and Science Fiction. In addition to a full-time writing career, J.L. serves as an adjunct professor at Southwestern Oregon Community College, where she teaches the Writing for Publication Workshop series from Brainstorm to Book and Beyond. She has been contributor for Dallas Child and Louisiana Parents Magazine, Education.com, and TheFatherLife.com. She is also a popular conference speaker and is the online book club moderator for Realms of Fantasy magazine. And I am just so delighted to have her back on the program today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live again, JL.
Oh, thank you, Juanita. It's great to be here.
Yes, so congratulations. Quandom is finally on the shelves.
It is, and it's just so pretty.
It is a gorgeous book, you know, and this is the final book, the fourth in your series, and since the last time we talked, which was several months ago, here you are, you've won several awards. I mean, that is amazing.
It feels really good. It's validation for writers to have someone else recognize the work, and so I've been really excited about the awards, and they give you shiny gold stickers, so I kind of feel like the kid at the first day of kindergarten,
yeah.
You know, with the gold star. It's just, oh, the stickers just, they look beautiful on the books.
Oh, that's great. Yes, you did
and
well.
And the bookstores say they help sell books, so
yeah,
I would absolutely encourage authors, submit your books to those contests. You just never know.
You don't, and that was two of the USA Book News awards. What categories were that? Was that in?
In fantasy and science fiction, and actually, it was Dragon Queen, the first book of the series, won a finalist award from USA Book News Best Books of 2007, and The Reckoning, the second book in the series, also won a finalist award. So two books out of one series in the same year. I hear that's pretty rare, actually. So it felt really good. And then the 2008 National Indie Excellence Award for Fantasy and Science Fiction. And we were actually the winner in the Fantasy and Science Fiction category. And I'm always the last to know. Someone always sends me a congratulatory email before I even know I won anything. So I'm scrambling to keep up. And it's a really nice feeling to have that validation.
Absolutely. Well, you really are, this series really has gotten a great, great response. And I'm wondering, in your opinion, what do you think it is about this series that is just capturing readers so strongly?
Well, I know that the strong women characters in my books are attractive both to men and women, and particularly teenage girls, which is really, really nice to have them identify with the characters in the stories. I think the fact that I don't write Tolkien-esque stories, I generally stay away from the traditional fantasy characters, that the elves and orcs that you see in so many works of fantasy now, since Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and Hobbit. I draw from an entirely different background. I draw from Celtic mythology and use that little touch of Arthurian legend in my stories. So you do see different characters. And my head is just so filled with them that I I haven't gotten any shortage yet. So.
No kidding. No, you, I mean, you're writing. You're a very avid writer.
I really am. I write 6 to 10 hours a day and still manage to squeak in video games. So it works out well for me.
Yeah. So it really is one of your trademarks that you write and create strong, independent women. And I just wonder why you've decided to kind of make that somewhat of your trademark, why that's important for you, and if this is a bit of a neglected market in the whole fantasy genre.
For me particularly, I, as a young girl, when I first started reading fantasy, I loved the stories that I was reading, but generally the protagonist was male, and I never minded that. I enjoyed the stories, but I was always looking for that woman character that I could identify with. And my grandmother, who was a great storyteller in the oral tradition, always tweaked the story she was telling to make that main character female. Didn't matter how that character may have started out in mythology or legend. She always made sure that the lead character was a girl by the time I got the story. And I appreciated that so much. And I appreciated so much those authors who did begin to write fantasy and science fiction from the female perspective. I think we're seeing more and more of it. I think that publishers have begun to realize and authors have begun to realize that you don't lose half of the market based on the gender of your characters. You actually broaden the market by drawing in both genders. And I was a little concerned up front that I would lose male readers, and that hasn't been the case. And that's really nice to know that, that men like strong women just as well. And I think it's important to maintain that femininity of the character. They're very much women. And it's nice to see the emotional side of a character come through in women, because we're not the same as men. And there's nothing wrong with those differences. Thank goodness for them. But we are different. Our emotions are drawn from a different place within us, and we have concerns that a male character often doesn't have. Mm. And so it's kind of nice to show all of the genders from their different perspectives.
And you also then do incorporate a lot of male characters in your books as well.
Mm-hmm. Can't get by without them.
Yeah,
you know, it just my experiences as a woman with men have been great, and I have so many men that I admire, including my husband, who is a character in one of my stories. Well, in several of my stories. Oh yes, in fact, I had a teen reviewer review Dragon Queen, and she was talking about romance in that book, and I thought, there's no romance in that book. And so at a book signing, another teenage girl said to me, I know why we think there's romance in that story, because the character Sorel is so gentle and kind with his female counterpart that he's the guy we all want to meet when we're in high school. And I went, oh, but he's my husband. He's real.
Oh, wow.
So just that aspect of a real guy,
mm-hmm.
I think is quite popular with teenage girls. So they see romance where I don't see romance, but that's okay.
Absolutely. Well, your books, I mean, you have a lot of teenage readers, but this is a book for adults as well, obviously.
I still have a lot of teenagers reviewing that book, and it, to quote a teenage reviewer, there's nothing in it that isn't found in some young adult and teen books. It's really, not spicy, but that's what she meant.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have a couple of scenes with sex. And so they were necessary to the story. They're definitely not just gratuitous, but
mm-hmm.
still it's not being promoted as a young adult novel. And yet I still am getting those reviews. So apparently I didn't offend those kids.
No.
Or their parents, which was great.
Yeah.
So, and I have a lot of readers who began reading Dragon Queen as 12 and 13 year olds and are now reading Quantum as 16 and 17 year olds. So
yeah.
My audience has also grown up along with the stories, and I think that does make a difference.
Well, that's interesting to think about. Is that something when you're writing and putting these books out one after another, do you think about your audience getting older and writing?
You know, I hadn't. It was actually my publicist who mentioned that my audience was growing up with the stories, and so the very young teens that started out with Dragon Queen have now, you know, 3 and 4 years later, matured along with the stories. And the characters in the stories matured. It, you know, it's just a part of life. There's no stopping them. And it can be a really great part of life. And I think that we need to know that, that love is a good thing. And it can be real. Lots of us experience that really wonderful, long-lasting love. And I think that's important for kids to know, because they see so many times where it's not so good. And I made a real point of showing it the way that it is. It can be great.
So just for listeners that hadn't tuned in to our prior interview, why don't you catch us up on what the Ancient Mirrors Tales series is all about? Like, give us a bit of a rundown from Dragon Queen to The Reckoning, Damsel Flies, and now Quantum.
The series is about two very powerful families that live in a world called Dragmoor. And in Dragon Queen, our heroine, Yavia, is awakened from the slumber of death. She's actually drawn by the ancients as a guardian for Dragmoor, and she has absolutely no idea of her past. She doesn't remember anything. And as the story unfolds, she discovers that not only is her job to guard this new world, but she also is heir to the throne of the Dragon Queen. And so through her adventures, she discovers her past, is reunited with her father and her sister, not always in good ways, but she is reunited. She finds an old love who is very, very helpful to her in her quest to reclaim the throne. And the world is constantly under threat. And in the second book of the series, The Reckoning, our main characters think that the world is safe, and a fey wizard discovers that that's not true, that beneath the world, within its caverns, an entire army awaits to be called, either into good use or bad use. And it's not possible for the Dragon Queen, who now is a very prominent figure, it's not possible for her guardians or for her to quest for the stones that will reactivate the army. She has to send someone who's a little less obvious, and it needs to be covert. And she chooses her niece, Quinn of Eridan, who is just an obnoxious child. She's at odds with everyone. She doesn't believe that loyalty will pay off in any way. She can't be told what to do, and she very reluctantly accepts the quest to search for the stones that will reactivate the army. And The Reckoning actually concludes the story, the Dragon Queen's story. So the first two books are very closely related. In the third story, Damsel Flies, it's based on a legend that my grandmother told me when I was young, and it's the story of a winged race that is practically annihilated by the fear of humans, of anything that's just different. They fear magic, they fear all of the fey races, and an overlord decides that in order to make sure a legend doesn't unfold, he'll just get rid of everybody that's related to magic. And Arsinea, our damselfly, is a survivor of an attack on her village, and she sets about to reclaim magic for the world before it's completely lost to man. And I think that as human beings, we often forget that there's magic in our lives every single day, whether it's in a brand new leaf that we see unfolding, or you know, just a really good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And, And it's nice to have that awareness. And of course, quantum, where we are reunited with Quinn of Eridan, becomes a character that we see throughout the series from The Reckoning on. And Quinn of Eridan is one of the characters that assists Arsinoe in her search for retribution for her people, as well as to save magic. And in Quantum, we have Quinn of Eridan returning, and she's a completely changed woman in Quantum. She's basically been beaten to within a breath of her life. She's abandoned as dead. She's found by a prisoner on an island who actually cares for her and saves her life. And in the story, we realize that from the very, very moment that Dragon Queen began, we've been headed in the direction of Quantum and the legend of the dragon spawn. And it finishes up the story very nicely. It doesn't close the door completely, because we never know when we might want to visit Ancient Mirrors again.
I was wondering if there was a completion.
It does close the story, and I know that readers have been very satisfied with the ending, but they also are chatting about aha.
Oh,
we do have places we could be if we wanted to, and I think from my perspective, because I've worked with the Ancient Mirrors characters for the past 5 years, they're old friends. You know, for me to let them go has been very difficult, and yet I've got a closet full of Erinese characters clamoring to get out, and it's their turn. You know, it is their turn, and Quantum is a really great story in that it's high action and adventure. It's a touch of romance. It's made the romance readers happy. I was actually asked if I was going to attend the romance conference in Philadelphia, and I said, well, I don't write romance. And someone went, oh, yes, you do. So apparently I do and don't even know it. But the thing that ties the Ancient Mirrors series together is actually its world and the families of both the Dragon Queen and the Serpent King, as well as the Ancient Mirrors that link the worlds together that our characters use to travel from one place to the other.
Now, who are the Dragon Spawn?
Dragon Spawn. Something that as a reader has annoyed me forever is that people write Dragonspawn, but we never know where they come from. And traditionally, Dragonspawn are created when a dragon attacks and impregnates a princess. And my brain won't get around that. I know them, and it's just not possible. And so in my story, we have a real logical way for a Dragonspawn to actually be part human and part magic, part dragon. And he's not the traditional dragon spawn who's that mad, slobbering, lizard-like creature that we see in so many video games and we read in a lot of novels. He is either one or the other. He actually has the ability to shift between his human form and his dragon form. And ultimately, he has to make a decision about which realm he's going to live in, because he can't have it both ways. He's probably, out of all of the stories, he is without a doubt the most reluctant hero I have ever had. I thought Quinn went kicking and screaming in The Reckoning, but it was nothing compared to my dragon spawn in Quantum. He's torn by his loyalty, a destiny that he's been bred for, and following his own heart as a human being. And we find out that dragons and humans have a lot in common, but they're also very, very different. So it's probably been the most fun story for me.
I imagine so.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. ReaderViewsKids.com is an amazing website where you can actually read book reviews created by kids themselves. Major reviewers and most online reviewers have adults reviewing children's books. Not only that, adults write the children's books, adults publish the children's books, and adults decide which books the children will read. See where I'm going with this? Sounds like it's a little imbalanced, and Reader Views Kids has wanted to bring the children back into the picture. Check out ReaderViewsKids.com and read their opinions today. You may be amazed at what they have to say. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with J.L. Gibson, author of Quandam, the fourth book in her Ancient Mirrors Tales book series. You can find out more about J.L. and her books through her website, ancientmirrors.com or jlgibson.com. If you've gone through all of the books in this series, you know, as a writer, you have probably, you know, honed your craft a little bit more. And I imagine that there was a lot of mixed emotions coming out with the last book in this series.
There was. There really was. I knew I had to let them go. And like I said, I have a closet full of characters and the door's bulging, and I knew it was their turn. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, getting to know the new characters for the Everneed series is great fun. I finished the first manuscript and begun the second, and it's just, they're great fun to write. I'm hoping that they are as much fun for readers to read as they have been for me to write.
Well, tell us a little bit about this new series and when we're going to see the first book come out.
The first book is due out fall 2009, and the series is called Everneath. It follows the legend of the Hela Qua, which is a being that has the ability to decipher the images within a book called the Book of Silence. And the Book of Silence is a true legend. It's tied to the legend of alchemy, and if we follow that legend, it takes us throughout history, everywhere from turning lead into gold to finding the Fountain of Youth with Ponce de Leon. And so it's based very, very loosely. I'm notorious for tweaking folklore and legend until they're totally unrecognizable. But it is based on the legend of alchemy and the search for the Hela Qua, the person who can actually read the Book of Silence. The Book of Silence is a legendary book, fabled to contain 15 images that would bring mankind great riches and immortality. And the Hela Qua, the being that can actually translate those images into understandable language for the human race, is the focus of the entire series. And in the opening book, at the opening book of the Everneath series, the Book of Silence has been stolen by an alchemist apprentice. And so the alchemist apprentice is being hunted by multiple races of people for multiple reasons. Some don't want the book translated at all. They don't want to lose the power that they already have. And, of course, the humans, we're always scrambling for immortality and power. And so the human race is hunting her for an entirely different reason. They would like to have the book translated very, very much so that they can use its power. And the stories take place in the sky cities of the Empyrean Shi, and the Shi are actually Celtic gods. And it also takes place on the ground, which is called Everneath, the world of Everneath. Each book will stand alone and have the common thread of the search for the Hela Qua. New characters. We have a wonderful character called Spiffy Jammers. I don't know where he came from, but I'm falling madly in love with him. My husband is just laughing over it. I thought, how can you be named Spiffy Jammers? But he is, and he's actually a bounty hunter sent off to look for the Hela Qua. His opening remarks are that he does not hunt children, never. Mm. And yet he decides to take on the commission and hunt for this child because nobody else will take care of her if they find her. and so he ultimately is attempting to save her life rather than take it.
Now, is this another series with a female kind of perspective with more female?
Definitely. And just actually some amazing female characters.
Is that right?
Elegance Moncrief, who is an enormous woman who just is so powerful, and she runs a group of bounty hunters, and It's her faith in the Hela Kwa, her belief that this being exists when none of her bounty hunters believe a word of it. They think that her faith in the Hela Kwa is completely misguided, but they adore this woman, and she's just incredible. She's just been so much fun to write. When she walks, if you've got a cup on a table, you better hold on to it, because her footsteps are just thunderous, and they send cups rattling across tables, and she's amazing. I have no idea where she came from, but I love her dearly. And of course, we have some younger female characters. We just see a character called Bronte Gray Moon, and she is she's also a bounty hunter, and she's in direct conflict with Spiffy. And so I'm having a great time. I'm just really hoping readers have as much fun as I'm having.
Oh,
because,
I'm sure.
I keep getting asked if I can't write just a little bit faster, but I'm just writing as fast as I can, honestly. And Evernith is scheduled to be a 6-book series, and so we have the cover artist has signed contract for 6 books, and so that's very exciting. I got really lucky with the Ancient Mirror series and had the same cover artist for all 6 books, and she did the maps for me, and so everything looks connected, and that's a really nice feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that the artwork of your Ancient Mirror series, I mean, it is really incredible, and I wonder how important that is for you to have that, I mean, that artwork just really spot on.
Oh, you know, it is, and not necessarily for the book cover art. I like having the book cover art for a series from the same artist, but I also commission outside of the book cover artwork, where the artist is working for the publisher. I also commission the artist to do character portraits for my walls while I write. Mm-hmm. And so character art is incredibly important to me. I just find it wonderfully inspirational. It also puts artists to work who, in my opinion, artists are just not given the recognition that they deserve, and they have a really hard time, kind of like writers, being recognized. And so it brings me great pleasure to know that I'm putting an artist to work. And Mates Larentu, who is the fantasy artist doing the Evernice series, is just amazing. I was really nervous about changing artists because I had worked with Michelle A. Thielen for so long, and we were so much in sync. And then she went on to do a children's book, all the illustrations in a children's book for another of my publisher's authors, and then is currently, well, I think she just finished a set of tarot cards for an Australian company. So, you know, her career is moving right along, and I was kind of nervous about the change. And yet, Mates Larentu is just truly remarkable, and he is also a concept artist for a game developer, and so he adds that little touch of 3D modeling that I'm so familiar with as a video gamer, and a lot of my readers also see that similarity and really have enjoyed it. And so he's just cranking out illustrations for characters, both for Evernaith. He's also doing some of the Ancient Mirrors characters that were not done during the time that I was writing the series, because we've got some stuff on the back burner that requires illustrations. And so he's doing some Ancient Mirrors characters, too. He just did a series of characters from Quantum that will go up on my website today. He did a character portrait of the leader of the Hell Wings, and he did a character portrait for one of the Wasp women warriors, and a character portrait of Ud the Firefly. Really, really popular character who's in the story all of one page, but people just adore this little firefly, so, you know, who knows? He's probably flitting about somewhere ready to come back. And then illustrations of the wizard Ainsel, who is the dragon spawn's associate prisoner and keeper on the Isle of Dragon's Heart, and Carid, Queen Carid, who is the ethereal nymph who was guardian, sentinel of the sacred woods, and made the mistake of stealing a human soul, and so she was sentenced to wear the flesh of human beings and didn't work out the way that God had planned. She liked it and murdered the king and became the queen of Quandam. Now they're all in trouble.
Uh-oh.
So, but he's doing these in graphite, and so they're
we can see those all on your website?
I will have those up later this afternoon. I just got the set from him yesterday, and so haven't gotten them up on the website, but they will be there later today in the on the gallery carousel that's on my website. But these are, it's a set of graphite images, and they're just absolutely wonderful. Eventually we'll have them colored, but we're kind of under a time crunch, so we're doing them in graphite to begin with. And he's got another set of five on his drawing board, so those will be out by the end of this week and up on the website by the beginning of next week. So, yeah, we're having fun. What can I say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another fun thing that you have done recently was I know you went to Book Expo, and that was in Los Angeles this year.
Book Expo was in Los Angeles this year. It's only on the West Coast about every fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say that if you are an author, it's well worth your time to attend Book Expo. Even if you aren't signing books, it's just well worth your time. It provides an opportunity to network with people in the business, in the book business, everyone from publishers and agents and editors and this year in Los Angeles, of course, we had the movie influence, so we had television and movie producers wandering the aisles looking for new stories that they could make into screenplays. And so that's something that when it's in L.A., it's worth the trip just to chat with those people who are very much available and will talk to you, just walking down the aisle. So it's a great place for authors to connect with other authors as well as people who are from every aspect of the book business, people who make the little book lights, people who make the cardboard stands that you see with our books on them in the bookstores. Everybody's there. And to have that many people in one place at one time and just know when you walk in the door that every single person is there for books and reading. And you can, of course, attend lectures and workshops and chat with other authors at their book signings. So it's just something that's really worth doing if you are an author, whether you are there under the umbrella of your publisher or your distributor, or whether you are there as an author, just visiting. It's open to the public, and I really encourage authors to attend. Each year I've been for the last 3 years, once in Washington, D.C., last year was New York City, and then this year in Los Angeles signing from my publisher. And it is incredible, the people, the book buyers that you will connect with, and they have all these wonderful specials going on for book buyers, so books get ordered right there on the spot at Book Expo America, and you can't pass that up. It's one of those events that is probably the most powerful book event in the United States, maybe the world.
It's huge.
It is huge,
yeah.
And the library, I love librarians. I just want that to be said publicly. I love librarians. I love knowing that my books are in libraries, that you don't have to have the price of a book to read a story. And it's just, they're there from every state in the union is represented, and people are buying books. So it is that wonderful opportunity for authors to connect with other people in the business. And it's the thing we have to do as authors. We have to be visible.
Yes, you do.
And it's hard work. It is really hard work. But
it's
Book Expo is a great place.
It's not just about writing the book. There, like you say, there's a lot that needs to be done in marketing and promotion. And that's a fun aspect of the whole journey of writing.
I think it is. For me, the absolute top moment as a writer is connecting with readers. And just So book signings are just my favorite events in the whole wide world. I just love connecting with readers, and it's a bonus to connect with readers who are also in the book business, and that's what takes place at Book Expo America.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make sure we mention both of your websites. The first, ancientmirrors.com, and then the other, jlgibson.com?
Yes, yes.
Right? Okay.
And I refer to them right now as the red and green sites. they actually do share content. However, right now I'm beta testing software for the Wix Flash software. And so right now both of the sites are up in Flash during the beta phase of the Wix software testing. And so I welcome feedback. If you visit the sites, you can email me. That my email address is there. You can email my publicist. We'd love to know what you think, because it will determine whether we stay with Flash or we go back to the more static HTML coding later on. So
I've been
far,
there. I love the Flash.
Oh, thank you. It is so much fun to see. It's interactive, and it's just like having a Wii movie, and it's I really love it.
You have book trailers up there.
Book trailers.
As well.
Actually, each of the books in the series does have a book trailer. However, Quantum's is just really, really special. All of my book trailers were done by Circle of Seven Productions. The director for Quantum is Antley Drive director Brenda Urquhart. And I apologize if I don't say her name right. It's Urquhart.
I think so.
Urquhart,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And you can see her her records on the Hollywood.com or any of those places. She's everywhere. The script was done by Lisa Yvette, and its voiceover was done by actor Keith Kraft, and he's just my new best friend. He just did a great job. I've had more compliments on that book trailer, and it includes a flyover of Quantum, which my husband laughed and said I was going to wear out the trailer before it was even released. But
it's a great trailer, Jill.
I love it. I love the colors. I love the character actors that they hired for the images. And that flyover just gets me every time. The music, it was wonderful. And, of course, Keith's voice just added that final touch. He did a great job.
He did. Well, we certainly want people to go check it out, because you have four up there, and Quantum. I watched it just earlier this morning, and it is really fantastic. And you've got you have a lot up on your website. So
I do. In fact, I was thinking earlier about how my websites have changed in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting to evolve.
Absolutely.
And I see that evolution on a daily basis. And, the websites have a lot of information. I've been told they're user-friendly. And whether you're a reader or a reviewer or someone interested in rights, I think everything you need is there for booksellers as well can stop by and have the connection as to where to order wholesale books, because I don't really sell books on my website outside of signed copies of the most recent release. But they're available everywhere. Just go get them.
Go get them.
Well, don't see them? Ask somebody.
Dale, it's been so great having you back on the program today. Our time is wrapping up. We could just go on and on, but we're going to have to close here. So I just want to thank you, and much success to you. I know that you are getting a lot of great, great response and interest in your series, and just wish you all the best.
Well, thank you, Juanita. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you bet. Did you have any final last-minute thoughts you wanted to share with your listeners before we close?
We just opened a new contest. We're giving away 5 autographed copies of Quantum. The drawing will take place the last day of August, I believe, and you can enter on the website. The information is all there. We're also having a July contest, I believe, for a piece of character art, a print that for 5 people. So sign up for the contest, come by, email me. Love to talk to people.
Great. Wonderful. Thanks so much, Dale.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right, listeners, there we go. I've been talking once again with J.L. Gibson. She is just a busy, busy lady. We certainly want you to check out her website, ancientmirrors.com or jlgibson.com, and drop her a line. Let her know what you think of the new websites. I think they're fantastic, and do check out the Quantum book trailer. So once again, thank you so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.